golden, she lives in golden, she lives for me. Says she lives for me, ovation. One motivation, she comes out and she goes down on me. And I make you smile like a drug for you. Do ever what you wanna do, coming over you. Keep on smiling, what we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you. And I speak to you like the chorus to the verse. Drop another line like a coda with the curse. Coming like a freak show, takes the stage. We give them the game, she plays. She say, I want something else to get me through this. Send me some kind of life.
Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Just being here today. I'm not going to be here for very long. I'm going to be here for very long. I'm going to be here for the full hour. But did an interview just a few minutes ago with a fantastic woman named Megan Myers of the Wooster Blades of the Canadian Women's Professional League. I'm going to bring her on in a second in terms of getting everything going. Just want to let everybody know, if you're looking for something to do tomorrow or on Saturday, Bison Women's Hockey is in effect. Bison Football also back in effect as we get ready. Bisons are playing Alberta at Investors Group Field. I want to come out and get going on that. Make sure you get out and do that. Bison Women are playing St. Mary's Academy Flames on Friday night at Wayne Fleming Arena. Come on down and check that out if you want. And then they'll play again on Saturday at the home of the Flames. And I'll get you that information at the end of the show in terms of getting everything going. But got to get this up and running in terms of everything that's going here. Megan Myers was in. We had a good time talking to her today in terms of getting everything going. I'm going to bring her on immediately here as she got us going entirely with everything about her life. So without further ado, folks, let's bring on Megan Myers from the Wooster Blades, as we get everything going here live on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show here with Megan Myers. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hockey Show is proud to welcome a woman to the show this evening who has not only rewritten the hockey record books at her choice of college, but is out to win a second Clarkson Cup and possibly more. As a member of the Wooster Blades, formerly the Boston Blades, she has led an outstanding life thus far, winning awards in roller hockey and being voted into her hometown's Hockey Hall of Fame. Little asterisk on that. And she's hungry to do more as both a player and coach, as well as being an inspiration for many young fans and players across this nation and throughout North America. I am honored, proud, humbled, and privileged to welcome forward Megan Myers of the Wooster Blades to the show. How are you, Megan?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I am very good, thank you. Let's start right back at the beginning, way back on January 24th, 1992, when Lori and Mike Myers welcomed a baby girl to the family. What was life like for Megan growing up in the Myers household?
We're a pretty middle-class family. We lived in Las Vegas, so I lived in about around Summerlin area of Las Vegas, if anyone knows Las Vegas a little bit. Didn't really play hockey much growing up, played a lot of soccer, wasn't very good at it. If you ask anyone, I'm not very athletic in anything besides hockey. But played soccer growing up, t-ball. I have a younger brother and younger sister, so I was a little busy, but I had a very, very very, very good childhood, so it wasn't a bad gig living up in Las Vegas either, so
good.
I'm happy about it.
Good, that's always good to hear. Your start in hockey is a little different from most, given that, again, Las Vegas very rarely has ice that you can sort of venture out onto in the winter. According to an interview you gave in 2013 to D3 Hockey, you said that your, quote, neighbor is a huge Rangers fan and he has a son the same age, and he started playing out in the cul-de-sac by your house, and you thought, hey, that looks fun. So you started playing goalie first, and then just the way that you sort of grew up, you finally told your dad that you wanted to play for real, but you didn't want to play goalie because you wanted to skate out because you were a really good rollerblader. Gotta ask you then, at what age did you officially get out on the ice in terms of finding your footing out on the ice hockey rink there?
Around 8 years old. So my next door neighbor, his name's Corey Ward, I can't talk. He plays for the Manchester Monarchs of the East Coast Hockey League.
Right.
So him growing up, like, he was a huge Rangers fan, and I didn't have a lot of kids in my neighborhood that were my age, so we kind of became best friends, and he taught me how to play. And obviously, if you're the only girl growing up playing hockey, you're all automatically goalie. Like, they always need a goalie to play. So I got roped into playing goalie, which I loved. It was kind of fun being the opponent. I finally told my dad I want to play. He got me into roller hockey. And then finally, jumped into ice hockey playing house league around 8 years old. My dad put me out there for like a stick and puck open skate, and I was the only girl out there, and my dad didn't have any hockey equipment, so he put me out there in like baseball catcher equipment, and they like put a jersey and skates on me and a helmet, and I went out there, and apparently I was zipping around and having a good old time, but started around 8, played house league, and the rest is history. I loved it ever since.
That is awesome. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Yeah.
Not sure if you're aware, but when you were 2 turning 3, there was a woman playing professional hockey in Las Vegas for the IHL's Las Vegas Thunder. But I take it. Yeah, I was going to say, were you aware of Manon Raume at the time?
Not at the time, but I was aware of the Las Vegas Thunder. Like, I was a little past my time. I didn't ever get to see them play, but my coach growing up was Ken Quinney, who used to play for the Thunder.
Oh, right on.
And I remember he used to tell me stories about her and how awesome she was and how skilled she was and how, like, if she can do it, you can too. So kind of, like, that was my first glimpse of, like, okay, like, women are playing hockey because coming from Vegas, you don't see anything other than that, besides, like, the 1998 Olympics when the U.S. won the gold. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of her. She's unbelievable. I actually met her once at a hockey tournament when I was, like, a peewee or something. She was hosting a tournament.
Right on.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
That is super cool. So you made it through grade school, obviously, and attended Arborview High School in Las Vegas, home of the Aggies. I'll give them a shout-out. But you spent your weekends with two other girls from Las Vegas in the car traveling to Los Angeles to play hockey. There were a couple of sites that said you played for the LA Selects, but I found most of your information with you playing with the Anaheim Lady Ducks team. Let's set the record straight. Is that correct? Were you a Lady Duck or were you a Select?
I played for both. So okay. I played boys hockey till I was a bantam in Vegas. I broke my collarbone, and my dad's like, "Yeah, maybe we should, you know, move into girls hockey." So the closest place is California, 5 hours away. So I grew up. I was 12. I started playing with the Cal Selects, which no longer exists.
Okay.
Then moved on to the Anaheim Lady Ducks for a couple of years, and then my 19th year before I went to college, I played for the LA Selects.
All right, okay.
There were so many teams in California at that time that, like, you could literally play for all of them. Like, I almost did play for all of them. I played the San Jose Sharks, but not a bad setup playing at the Anaheim Ducks facility, practice facility every weekend.
That is a highlight. That's pretty cool. So I got to ask, though, who are these two teammates that made the trek with you every weekend?
One was Charlotte Carter. She went to Cortland State, played a little bit of hockey there. And then Lauren Strauss, she went to St. Norbert's when they started their inaugural program in Wisconsin. They both no longer play. I see them often, though, so we still have a good friendship. But I pretty much last the longest out of all of us in our playing careers, which is pretty nice.
That's all right. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. There was another Blades player. Not sure if you're aware of this, but another Blades player suited up for the Anaheim Lady Ducks at one point, as Jetta Ratcliffe played net for the Lady Ducks. We had her on the show earlier this summer. Did you happen to know Jetta before you combined forces on the Blades?
I did briefly because we played against her in roller hockey. I only knew her through roller hockey in California. It's huge there.
Yeah,
every weekend there's a roller hockey tournament. All the rinks are outside. It's so nice out. I think the year before she came to the Blades, we played Jetta and an arts championship, and I think we won in overtime, and she was a goalie for the other team. So I kind of bring that up sometimes for her, like kind of rub it in her face, but we're good about it. That's the only time I really knew about Jetta before she joined the Blades. I also played with, I don't know if you know this, Lizzie Davidson, who's on the Blades. She is a little younger than me, but I used to stay at her house when I'd go to California on the weekends.
Oh, no way.
So I've known her my whole life, basically, since I started playing hockey.
That's awesome.
So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool bringing it back now that we're adults playing professionally.
Yeah, no kidding. That's super cool. Looking at that insane travel schedule that you guys decided to pull off, because I'm not sure how anybody decided this was a good idea, but the three of you went every weekend to Los Angeles for 4 seasons on the 4.5-hour trip from Vegas to Los Angeles, followed by the return trip on Sunday. Now, for anybody that's done the road trip stuff, the first few can be fun, but by trip number 20, there probably had to be a little bit of like, oh, here we go again, sort of mixed in there. How did you guys keep the trip from becoming like monotonous for 4 seasons of hockey?
So we used to do, like, before I could drive, or before any of us could drive, our parents were doing, like, this rotation. So, like, 1 week and my dad would drive, next week and Lauren's dad would drive, and the next weekend, like, Charlotte's dad would drive, or mom would drive. And so, like, we had different cars every time. I guess that would make it a little bit more interesting. We played movies, music. But basically, like, on the way up for Saturday morning, we'd leave at 3 a.m. My dad would basically throw me in the car, sleeping, half asleep. And we would head down to California, get there at 8 a.m., have practice at 9, and then drive back the next day after we play a game. It wasn't that bad. Looking at it now, it actually was so much fun. Spending that much time with them, and they were my best friends, and even a blessing to play women's hockey at that time, so I was super excited about it. One thing, though, like, I hate scary movies, and we had, like, a DVD player in our car every weekend, and they would just force me to watch them, because, like, I can't go anywhere. I'm in a car for 4.5 hours, and they would just torture me most times, like, just to play a joke on me, but it was a good time. I missed a lot of stuff in high school doing it, but, I mean, it's well worth it for where my career is now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's awesome to hear that, you know, again, a little bit of sacrifice at the beginning makes up for it in the end there for you. You mentioned in that same D3 hockey interview that you grew up wanting to play for the Mighty Ducks. So I got to ask you, who was your favorite player at the time?
My favorite player was Ryan Getzlaff.
Oh, really?
So is that, yeah.
Does Ryan know?
I hope so. I don't know. I don't think so. When I joined the Lady Ducks, like, I was already a huge Ducks fan. I loved Paul Kariya, you know, Sergei Fedorov. I loved watching them when they first started. And then when Ryan came onto the scene, and then when they won the Cup in 2007, I was like, yep, huge fan. That's why number 15 is based off of Ryan Getzlaff. So I hope he knows that he's, like, I'm, like, his biggest fan. But
if he doesn't,
I'll just shoot him a shout-out on Twitter or something.
I was going to say, if he doesn't know, it's on record now, so we'll make sure we get that to him if we can.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I mean, take nothing away from him. He is one of the best players in the league, that's for sure. So how exactly does a young lady from Las Vegas playing hockey in California end up halfway or in a ball away across the country at Utica College as a pioneer?
Yeah, there's no hockey in the West Coast. I mean, it's growing now. Not a lot of women's programs, but, I mean, UNLV has an amazing men's hockey program now. So it is growing, but at the time when I'm growing up in Vegas, I was looking for schools, and I was reaching out to a lot of D1 schools, but wasn't really aware of what D3 had to offer as well. So I had a really hard time finding my place and finding places to like me and kind of recruit me in that sense. And then Charlotte, one of my teammates who is from Las Vegas and was driving back and forth with me, was like, hey, you should check out Utica College. Like, I'm looking into it. I might go there. I'm like, perfect. You should go. We'll go together. It'll be great. Come to find out, she kind of ditched me on that one. She went to Cortland. I ended up loving Utica, loving the odd, coming from a place where hockey's not huge to going to a small New York town where hockey is life there, I think was a huge selling point for me. And I think I just wanted to be part of something that was bigger than myself and part of something that really brought the community together. So that kind of what sold me. And I loved it. I loved Utica and everything about it. So it was a perfect fit for me.
I mean, Utica's got a huge hockey fan base there, too. I mean, they've AHL teams. They've had, you know, older leagues and some of the earlier leagues anyway. Huge hockey fan base there. Was that sort of part of the appeal of going to Utica?
Yeah, like the rink. I mean, I remember my recruiting visit like it was yesterday. Show up, Dave Clausen, my head coach at the time, was showing me the campus. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Well, my major, yeah, I don't really know what I want to do. But then he took me to the rink, and I was like, yep, I'm in. Saw the rink, saw that it fit about 4,000 people in the stands. Huge high surface, own facility, own locker room, training facility. And that place has so much history. I don't know if you know this, but the Odd was actually in Slapshot.
Yes,
it was
yeah.
Part of the movie Slapshot, which is pretty cool. So, like, that reeled me in. The rink and how much backing they get from the city with Utica College hockey is unbelievable. So, yeah, the hockey history really hit home with me. And then as I kept going through college every year, I would come to find out, like, Clinton, New York has a huge hockey history. I mean, they're hosting a preseason game. They won Hockeyville this year, so they're hosting a preseason game, and just so much Central New York hockey history just came about as I was going through college, and I just think it's amazing. I think it should be a huge sell for anyone that is interested in going there.
So, I mean, I didn't know much about Utica College before this, and I certainly did my digging into this. So We're going to run through your, I'm going to say, storied college career, because you put together one heck of a, 4 years while you were there. And it's a career, I think, that deserves a lot more recognition, in my view. But, and again, I'm not one of these people, but I know some people do discount it because, you know, the NCAA Division I people are like, oh, it's just Division III. It's not that big. But you did a ton of good stuff there. And we're going to go through it piece by piece here. So, starting in your freshman year in 2010-2011, you led the Pioneers in goals with 21, points 35, game-winning goals with 3, and power play goals with 6, while finishing second on the team in assists with 12. You were named an ECAC All-Rookie and an ECAC West Second Team All-Conference player. Not quite a bad way to kick off a college hockey career, I'd say. So, got to ask you, what worked so well in year one for you?
I get asked this question, like, how did you not get recruited to go anywhere else and then you show up to Utica College and just turn it on? I honestly don't know. I think I showed up to Utica and played the way I'm used to playing, and I think I was blessed with amazing upperclassmen and amazing teammates at Utica that really helped me, and especially, obviously, the coaching helped, but I had no intention when I came to college that I was going to have a storybook freshman year like I did. We beat Elmira College, and they're a big-time hockey school, and we beat them in the semifinal. I scored both goals in the semifinal of my first playoff game ever, and I don't think I could have written that kind of story going into it. So I'm still shocked about how well I did. I can owe it all to my teammates, upperclassmen, staff, coaching, that I got there. I mean, I got full support from when I stepped on the campus, so I think being comfortable in my surroundings really helped me excel on the ice as well.
So, I mean, that's only chapter one, because you went and wrote probably a better chapter in season two in your sophomore year. 2011-2012 saw you pick up right where you left off. You finished third in the nation, and you led the ECAC in points with 40 points. You became only the fourth Pioneer in program history that season to hit the 40 or more points mark in one season. And adding to that, you were named an ECAC West All-Conference first-team player as well. What changed from year one to year two that said, you know what, I'm going to do better this year?
I honestly think that everyone kept saying the, like, Voldemort word of saying sophomore slump, and that everyone in their sophomore year just goes through this slump where they can't do what they did freshman year. And I'm like, I think I can. Like, screw that. Like, you can do whatever you want. If you want to be better than you were the first year, then be better than you were the first year. So I was like, I can do that. I worked my butt off that summer. Coming into freshman year, I was a little oblivious in the gym. And I think freshman year really took my gym game up to a new level. So I used that in my off season and came back even stronger. I mean, I wish I would have gotten an All-American accolade that year, but still an incredible year for me stat-wise. And I think it's amazing that I didn't have a sophomore slump, because usually most people do.
That is correct. We usually see that a little bit, but you know what? For everything that you might have missed out on year two, year three decided to make up for it. Because 2012-2013, saw you terrorize the ECAC again, as you were named an ECAC West All-Conference first-team player once more, a CCM Division III second-team All-American, and you led the Pioneers in points yet again with 31 points, 17 goals, and 14 assists. Usually we see players, as I was saying, improve year to year, or maybe take maybe a step back as their roles change with the team. But you were simply full steam ahead over your first three seasons with no let-up. Despite seeing players come and go, graduations, recruitments, all that kind of stuff, did you feel any pressure in your junior year to continue to haunt ECAC goalies as one of the veterans on the Pioneers team?
100%. I feel like if you come in and you're the leading goal scorer, you're automatically a leader on the team. If you don't have a letter, that's okay. You're still a leader on the team. You have to produce, and you're there to produce. So I feel like coming in junior year, I was really feeling that I need to produce, and I think I took care of that pretty well. I think being an All-American is probably one of the highest honors that I've ever gotten. So I was super pumped about that. And also my sophomore year, Utica Pioneers, we didn't make the playoffs, and that was the first time, I think, in Utica College history we never made the playoffs, so I was a little bitter, and I think I came back with a vengeance. I was like, no chance are we going another year not making the playoffs. So I think I know the rest of my teammates felt that way, so I think it was good that all of us were in the same boat on that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Junior year was a good one for me. I was pretty pumped about it.
2013-2014, senior year. There's going to be a lot of stuff I spew out here, so be ready for this. Megan Meyer starts the year, is named captain of the Pioneers, and then you went out and simply led the team in goals with 19, assists with 20, points 39, game-winning goals with 5, and then you earned ECAC West All-Conference second-team honors. At the end of your NCAA career, you had played in 104 games while scoring 74 total goals and adding 69 helpers. You also sat for 68 minutes in the sin bin, but we're not going to talk too much about that. your 40-point season, though, in 2011-2012 and your 39-point season in 2013-2014 currently, this is up to date, currently have you 9th and 10th as the best single-season point totals in Utica College history. Your 21 goals in 2010-2011 put you 5th best for a single season. You're officially 2nd in points all-time right now. You're tied for 1st all-time in goals, and you're 4th all-time in assists. So looking back over those 4 years, not discounting what happened in year 4, but looking back over those 4 years, of what accomplishments and accolades are you most proud?
I think that's a tough one. I think I'd like to say playing in 104 games is one of my top. I think it's a very difficult thing. It's like crazy to think that I played 104 games. I didn't even mention I sat out a bunch of games my junior year. I sprained my MCL, so that kind of hindered my points total.
Yeah.
But, I mean, playing 104 games to me is amazing. And to have some of my teammates do the same thing, which is, I think, is the coolest thing to say that you played that many games in college. All-American still, again, one of my most, I can't explain how honored I am to be named an All-American and to let the rest of my life knowing that I am one. But I still am a little bitter that I'm tied for,
first in goals. Yeah, first in goals with 74.
I'm such a stat nerd. Like, I probably knew all these stats before you read them off to me because I'm such a stat nerd. But my coaches, when I was leading to my last game and they knew I was tied, they were trying to lie to me and tell me that I was, like, 2 points behind or, like, 3 points behind so that, like, the pressure wouldn't get to me that I'm tied and I need one more because they knew I'm such a stat head that it will, like, ruin my mojo. But but I knew because I looked it all up. But, like, I'm a little bitter about that, but I still think that's a complete honor. I think it's Gina Wingman who I'm tied with. She had an amazing career. And when I came in as a freshman, I remember Utica had this program that had all the records listed that you named, like, most goals, most points, and she had every single one.
Yes.
And now I think it's pretty cool that I'm now on that list, and I'm second. I'm right next to her on that list. And if a freshman comes in now to Utica College and looks at the record books, I'm right there, which I think is pretty cool.
I would say that's pretty cool. I mean, again, you pretty much rewrote some of the records anyway. A lot of the records you added to, so that was fantastic. But,
yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, you're also a graduate of Utica College. You graduated with a degree in therapeutic recreation. I don't know exactly what that means. To me, it sounds like you're an expert now in kicking back and relaxing. But for those of us, me included, what exactly can you do now with a therapeutic recreation degree?
So with my therapeutic recreation degree, I was still going to take a test to be certified in any state. But basically, what my major entails is doing recreational activities such as, for example, like cooking, arts, music, sports, exercising, reading, anything that you find would be fun and recreational, using those things as a form of therapy, things that maybe can help you get through your day. Or like I had an internship my senior year where I worked at a nursing home in Utica, and I used to run activities for all these ladies and men in the nursing home. I'd read them books, and I would take them through a dance class. Like, we do a wheelchair dance class just to get them, like, have fun in life. Like, even though they're in a nursing home and, yes, like, life is, like, death is near for them, I want them to experience and have a full force of life. And I think that it was a great major for me. I think finding purpose in life is huge for anyone. It doesn't have to be the elderly, but anyone with disabilities, to find recreational activities that will help you therapeutically, help you get through life and be happy. So that's basically what it was.
So you're basically like the most fun person to hang out with then, is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. That sounds good. At what point, and this is going to be more of a tough question, I think, but at what point after the season, after 2014 season ended, did you look at the CWHL and think, you know what, I can do that?
I thought about it before I graduated. Oh. I kind of do my second semester senior. I'm like, absolutely not. Can I end my career? Like, I'm crushing it. I'm doing well. Why would I want to end it? And this is the love of my life. Hockey is my first love. I'm not ready to give it up yet. And I looked into CWHL, saw that there was a team in Boston. I've always wanted to live in Boston. And from probably my second semester on, I was researching, and then finally entered the draft. I'm pretty sure I entered April, May, maybe, probably right after the season ended. I was like, yep, we're moving on to the next step. So it was actually pretty early, earlier than I thought. I was just ready, I think, to know where I was going to go next. I didn't like the unknown of I'm graduating college. I have no idea what I want to do. I kind of wanted something where I'm like, I'm going to make the Boston Blades. I'm going to move to Boston, and then I'm going to take it from there. I kind of needed a next step in my life. So earlier than most.
So looking at that, 2014 summer rolls on. Not much is being said. Not much is being done. And then all of a sudden, the entry draft comes along. And the Boston Blades made a dream come true in selecting Megan Myers from Utica College with the 47th overall pick in the draft. What goes through your mind now when you hear Megan Myers, professional hockey player?
I just got the chills. I don't know, like, I'm sitting in my car right now and I just got chills. But it's still, like, the coolest thing to hear. I remember when, waiting for the draft to happen, all my Utica College teammates, they all met at this house, like, one of our team houses, and I'm sitting at the table with my computer, and I'm watching the Twitter feed of who's all getting drafted. I'm like, holy cow, like Monique Lamoureux, Jenny Potter, Brianna Tucker. I'm like, holy smokes, this is going to be wild. And then I kept waiting for my name and finally got picked, I think, in the 13th round. And for the 13th round, and the whole place erupted. It was like probably one of the coolest experiences. But still to this day, I am shocked that I'm still playing the game that I love at the age of 26. Like, if you told me before I went into college freshman year that I could play hockey until I'm 26 and love it, then I'd tell you you're crazy. But it's the coolest experience.
Well, it's happening, and it seems like there was some pretty good stuff that did happen, because 2014-2015 was a pretty special year for the Blades. You played with some of those players you just named who have a little bit of name recognition: Brianna Decker, Hillary Knight, Kelly Stack, Megan Duggan, Gigi Marvin, Genevieve Lacasse, in terms of a few that have been, oh, I don't know, to the Olympics or something. Not to mention that the Blades did win the Clarkson Cup in a thrilling 3-2 overtime victory over Les Canadiens de Montréal, capped off by Janine Weber's overtime goal, who we've had on the show as well. Aside from the obvious celebration you guys did after winning everything, what stands out from that season? And most importantly, I think, what did you learn from all those remarkable players when it comes to playing the game of hockey?
Oh my God. I think that my whole game transformed in that year. I didn't see ice time much. Totally okay with me. I'm not a Brianna Decker. I'm not a Megan Duggan. They're all amazing hockey players, and I was just even privileged to be able to practice with them, let alone, like, play in a line with them. So, and I was a rookie, and I knew that I had to work my way up through the lineup, and I didn't see much ice time, but I went to every practice. I went to every community service thing that we could mention, and I learned so much from them, even just playing one-on-one against them at practice, or skating at the pace that they skate, or like even playing one-on-one, like cross-ice drills with Hillary Knight while she's bouncing the puck on her stick, trying to like tap it over my head and then smack it in like a baseball bat. Like, I learned so much just watching them play. I think watching them be the professionals that they are really transformed me to being the hockey player I'm proud to be, like the person, professional that I am now. It was an amazing experience. I was even lucky to play with Lacasse and Watchhorn and Drew Burns the next season. So it was an unbelievable experience. So winning the Clarkson Cup, I don't know if that's going to happen again in my career. I sure hope so, but it was something that I'll remember forever.
Listen, I know we just talked about some players, and you certainly talked about how important they were, but let's be honest here. You've been trailblazing all your life. Started as a kid from Vegas who had no team to really cheer for. I had no real hockey sort of icons to cheer for, to playing in L.A., to getting a chance at Utica College, to playing for the Boston Blades. So got to ask you, does the title, quote, first woman from Las Vegas to play pro hockey, unquote, hold a special distinction for you?
Oh, absolutely. I hold a great pride from where I'm from. I love Las Vegas. I don't go back as much as I want to. I'm super excited I'm going back in December, but that city is amazing. Seems like a crazy place from an outsider's perspective, but when you are really in it, you grow up there. It's a very small, tight-knit community. There are millions of houses outside of the Strip. We're more than just casinos and hospitality. We're a lot about family and bringing up good people. So, yeah, I think being able to represent women's hockey and being a professional hockey player from Vegas, I think I take a huge sense of pride in, especially from a place that I was the only girl, but I was completely supported 100% to play hockey there, and people let me skate a puck for free, and I played on boys' teams, and parents took me in on weekend trips. Like, they're fully supportive of women playing hockey when there wasn't any, which I think is amazing. I think that's a pretty cool title. I should put that on one of my business cards or something. Sounds pretty good.
That's awesome. I when you go back in December, are you going to go to a Golden Knights game?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I already told my mom, who I'm meeting today, I already told her I'm going to, they're playing the Kings on, like, December 22nd. I'm like, we have to go. Tickets are, like, $200, though. I'm like, I'm willing to put down the money to go see the Knights play.
Yeah, there you go. That's all right.
I love watching them play.
I was going to say, who are they playing on the 22nd?
They're playing the Kings.
Oh.
Which would be even better, because I'm not a big Kings fan.
I was going to say, being an Anaheim Ducks fan.
Yeah, you don't like the Kings.
You know, I already know who you're cheering for, then. That's all right. Last couple of seasons, we've seen the Blades sort of at the other end of the spectrum after the 2015 season. Wins have been a little harder to come by, but they say that a team's real character can be seen during times of adversity. Despite the lean times in terms of the number of wins, we've seen some really good players take really big strides forward on the Blades in terms of making good progress. Does seeing this team improve year over year after what you guys went through give you the confidence that the Blades are on the right track to make it back to Clarkson Cup standing?
Yeah, I think we are. The year after we won the Clarkson Cup, I think we went through a huge turnover, obviously, with the NWHL starting up and losing a bunch of players. We hit a huge turnover. I think we completely started over. We had a new GM, new coach, new rink. Four of us stayed back to play for the Blades, but it was a completely start over. And I almost feel like every year has been a start over for us. We've moved ranks every year. We've had a new GM almost every year, a new coach almost every year. So it's been a fresh slate every year. But I think, and I fully believe this, and I've always said that every year a fresh slate is good for us. But I fully believe that the move to Worcester and with Paul Kennedy joining on, Derek Alfalma joining on as our GM, that this is a true starting point of what the Blades could be in a couple of years. I think with the talent that we brought in the draft and the turnover and the people staying from last year, I think we're well on our way to getting back to championship playoff status. It might take a little while, and that's okay. It's growing pains, but I think we're 10 times closer to our goal of winning and making the playoffs than we were last year, just from even our offseason. So I'm really looking forward to it this year, and I think a lot of people see it as an awesome opportunity for us to really grow the Blades in Worcester, which will be exciting.
Yeah, we'll break down sort of what you just said there a little bit. Blades have sort of been the CWHL's nomads over the last few seasons. You've played in three different rinks in three seasons now. The move to Worcester this season seems to bring with it at least a little bit of stability in knowing where you'll play for the next season and the next, you know, future seasons anyway, which is great. How difficult is it, though, for you, maybe if you can speak on behalf of your team, how difficult, though, is it having sort of a new home rink every year for the last few years?
Oh, it's extremely hard. I mean, you get comfortable in one place, and then you're on to another. And I think it's hard, especially inside the CWHL team, it's hard to build a community if you're moving around so much. So, like, Markham just moved to, they moved to Markham this past season, and they've grown it up so much. And the city is so behind them, and the mayor is so behind them. And, like, could you imagine them picking up and leaving and going to another rink because that rink won't hold them anymore? It just doesn't look good. And then you truly become a nomad. So I feel like all the other CWSL teams have really grown up their communities, really brought in a fan base, and I feel like we've had a hard time doing that with so much movement. But I think moving to Worcester and it being 40 minutes outside the city will help bring the Worcester community in, to knowing that we're named after Worcester. The people here take so much pride in the fact that they're from Worcester, that carrying the Worcester Blades means something to them, and it signifies that they take pride. If they take pride in Worcester, they're going to take pride in us. And I think for us, that's huge, because we've never had a community that's really taken pride in the Blades. So I think any time is better to start here. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely no doubt about the about sort of having that civic pride from Worcester in there. You did mention you've been coached and managed by some, a handful of people, but there's been some rather remarkable people in that. So without going into detail, you can if you want, brief or not, give us your thoughts on the following people who have had an impact on your life. We'll start with the woman who drafted you, Aronda Kirby.
Aronda, awesome person, really good GM, super organized. I think with the group that we had, we were very hard to organize because we were all over the place, but she did a great job, and I think she did a great job getting us in. So I have no idea what she's doing nowadays. I hope she's doing well. But, yeah, she was a great GM.
Head coach Digit Murphy.
Digit was great. She has a different coaching style than I've ever been accustomed to. I've never seen anything like her coaching style. But she's awesome. She's very energetic. She's very passionate about the game of hockey, about the people that she coaches. I know she coached Kunlun last year and really brought them to a whole another level, especially making to the Clarkson Cup final, which is amazing. But she really is a trailblazer herself for women's hockey and has really grown it, not even in New England, but in North America, now the world with China involved. So I hope she's doing well in whatever she's doing right now, too.
Former guest of our show and former GM Krista Petronik.
Krista was awesome. Also a very passionate hockey fan. Very friendly. Really good with the girls. She was one thing very, very good about involving the community and sponsoring events and fundraising. We did a couple 5Ks. We did a golf tournament. We did ball hockey tournaments. And she put a lot of work into those things. She's very hardworking. And a very passionate hockey fan. I also hope that she's doing well. I haven't heard from her in a while.
I'll give you updates in a second on all of them, but we'll keep going through a couple more people here. Head coach, at one point, head coach Casey Ambrose.
Casey is going to be an amazing hockey coach if she decides to jump back into the game. She got thrown in to a team that was lost, to a team that was, again, struggling win-wise, and she took it and made it the best. I think she really brought us together. She really brought us to a point where we were closing games, we were losing shootouts, we were almost there. I think she did a great job bringing the girls together, and she's a great person. She's a good friend of mine, and I hope that she gets in the coaching game because she's going to be great at it. I think she's teaching now, but she should really get back into hockey because I could see her career going very, very far.
She did go home to teach, so maybe she can get in with the Whitecaps there. But
I would think she played there, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe there's a chance there. Last person I'm going to bring up, only because I have a question about her next, is your former coach at Utica College, Eliza Kelly.
Oh, man. Let me just tell you a quick story about Eliza real quick. I just came back from her house because she just bought a house, and she's getting a dishwasher, and I used to be a plumber. So she's like, you got to take my dishwasher out for me. So I just spent the last hour taking out her dishwasher for her, and now, like, I'm now her handyman. I don't really know. I'm, like, working on her house for her. But she's my head coach here at Becker. She was my assistant coach at Utica. Amazing person, great friend of mine. She actually had number 15 at Utica And I remember when I was a freshman, I had to personally ask her for 15.
Oh.
And the work, and she said to me, she goes, Myers will only give it to you if you do something with it. And I took that to heart, and I think I ran with it because I think I did do something with it. But I owe her a great deal of who I am now and the coach I am, the player I am now, all to her. I can't say anything but nice things about her.
Well, I'll give you the updates on what I know, because the next question is about Eliza, so I'll get to that in a second. But from what I understand, Digit and Aranda are both working on the board of directors for the KRS unit that's looking after the Chinese women's national team. So they're still
They're
in
still
it.
Over there?
Yeah, they're still over. They're still involved over there in terms. I don't know if they're still over there, but still involved with the running of the program over there. Krista ended up going to Colgate University, where she was the director of hockey operations for the women's program.
I knew that.
She just got back from Italy. Apparently, she had a great time over there. And, Casey, as I said, went back to Minnesota to teach, so hopefully she'll get back into the game as well. So, Eliza, who, like I said, had a question about her, who coached you at Utica College. Pretty inspirational, because you decided to reunite with her behind the bench as the assistant coach and the first assistant coach in school history at Becker College, like you said, way back on June 15th, 2015. Clearly, you're still doing it, which is awesome. So how much fun and what have you learned from the coaching experience with working with Eliza and the young ladies at Becker College?
I've learned so much, and I think every day I'm with Eliza and I'm with the girls, I'm learning something more. When Liza approached me, she approached me because she got hired to do it the season I was playing for the Blades when we won the Cup. So she had to recruit that full year, and she asked me, she goes, when I get a team together, like, will you be my assistant? I'm like, absolutely, I'll do it. Joined in, she recruited a really great class for our inaugural season, and it was definitely a learning curve for me, being a player in the game and acting, I think I started when I was 22, acting 22 years old, and then now having to be a mentor and a coach and even a signified parent for these kids while they're at school, it really was a learning curve for me. But Liza did an amazing job bringing me up to speed, teaching me not only how to coach systems and project out to the girls what you're thinking, but how to be more professional, how to recruit kids, how to change these girls' lives who come to play college hockey and are not only going to leave better hockey players, but leave better people. That's our biggest motto. We want them to not only leave having an amazing college hockey experience, but amazing, become an amazing person while they're doing it. So I think Liza really taught me that. And I've used that in everything I do now, being a player. Like, I think it trends, like, I'm on the bench and I see something, now I'm on the bench as a player, and I think the connection between the two has really helped me grow in both aspects. So I mean, I owe Liza everything as to how my coaching style, and she has really upped my game a lot in that sense as well. So I owe her a lot.
You play as a player but think as a coach. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that, like, I yell as a coach, and then now now as a player, my teammates are like, Myers, like, you need to shut up. Like, I just can't stop talking. But yeah, like, I see some, like, I watch video as a coach. And then I watch video of myself as a player. I'm like, why did I just do that? Like, I know better than that. And, like, now I can coach myself almost, which is pretty cool.
I use both
to my advantage.
You mentioned, and I don't know if people are aware of this, but you did mention that you had been in a past day job, a plumber. And
yeah.
I'm going to say this not to be rude, but when most people think of plumbers, they don't think of you. In terms of the way you look,
yeah.
I think of, you know, other people, other usually dudes, who
right.
show up at the door. So what is the reaction when Megan Myers knocks on a door and you tell them that you're here to look at their plumbing?
I get a lot of taken back faces. I get a lot of, like, if I go to fix someone's sink, like, say the handle on their sink is broken or loose, I get a lot of hovers. People are like, oh, you can do that? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Or I come to pick up their water heater, which is extremely heavy, and I'm coming to pick it up with, like, a dolly. They're like, are you sure you got that? I'm like, I'm sure I got it. I love that job. It's like, I tell people all the time, that's probably second to coaching. That's probably my favorite job I've ever had. I love it. And I try to, I actually have to fix a dryer tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. So.
Oh, right on.
It's not a bad gig.
No, not.
I learned a lot doing it, too.
I was going to say, you can probably make your own hours, you know, call your own shots, right?
Yeah, I started my assistant coach. She was our defensive coach, Utica. He owns his own plumbing business because he was a part-time with Utica. And one day, I think I needed a summer job, and he's like, you come work for me. Just put on some jeans and some tennis shoes and meet me over. I'm like, Buzzy, I know nothing about toilets. Like, I know nothing about plumbing. Like, I don't know how this is going to work. And then 4 years go by, I work there every single summer, and it's probably one of my favorite jobs. Now I know a trade, which I think more people need to know a trade, and I think it makes me stronger, too. Like, lifting up water heaters and fixing dryers and stuff like that has really made me well-rounded, I would say.
Yeah, no, nothing wrong with that. And it's certainly the idea of the trade certainly is catching fire yet again in terms of people learning stuff to keep them just simply moving or simply, you know, life moving. That's always important as well. Obviously, and I don't know if this is an obvious, maybe it's not obvious to me, but I would say, I know you're busy in the summer now with jobs and with doing all the stuff you're doing around Worcester. Do you still get time to play roller hockey in the summer with the Orange County Blades?
I didn't this past summer. I work at Can-Am Hockey in Lake Placid, New York, so I work with them in the summer times. But I was going to go back this summer, didn't make it out, but next year I'm definitely planning on pitching to get back out there. Roller hockey is a blast. No icing, no offsides. So it's like my type of game. There's not a lot of stopping involved. Just like rink curls, which my coach in college used to hate when I showed up to college and I went do stops and starts, but I plan to get back there. I'm trying to grab Nicole Giannino and Jetta to come and we can form a team together.
Nice. Well, Jetta just came back with a gold medal from the World Inline Hockey Championship, so yeah.
I know. I wanted to go so bad. I want to go this summer too. Hopefully Jetta will join me if we end up going this next summer.
That'll be fun. Yeah, no, get those going. Hey, you're already Blades anyway, so go join the Orange County Blades again. So there you go.
Yeah, seriously, that's weird that happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, you seem to be like almost foretelling your future there. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You can feign you know ignorance if you don't know, but I don't know if you're aware, but VegasHockey.net holds a Vegas Hockey Hall of Fame vote virtually every year. On June 28, 2016, you were voted in by the readers of VegasHockey.net to be part of their Hall of Fame. Are you aware of that?
I follow VegasHockey.net basically just to catch up on my old hockey buddies. I didn't know that. That's awesome. I didn't know we had a Hockey Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't think it's like a physical Hockey Hall of Fame, but I think it's one that they June 28, 2016, you were voted in by the readers.
That's pretty awesome. I'm gonna use it as a bragging tactic with all my Vegas hockey buddies. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was looking at it going, hey, that's phenomenal. I didn't even know it existed. And then I found out it was just on the website. But I was like, hey, still pretty cool in terms of getting an honor like that. So
hopefully we'll get more girls in there at some point in the future.
There was another woman that was voted in with you. I didn't quite catch it. Her first name is Megan as well, I believe. So, but I didn't catch who it was, but there was two women on that were voted in that in 2016 anyway. So you were one of them though. So as a player,
I'll have to look at it.
For those that may not know, you currently live in Worcester, the new home of the Blades. If fans want to take in the full Worcester experience, now that you're a resident, during a trip to see you guys play in your new home, what sites and places would you recommend fans, to sort of go, must-see Worcester experiences that they should go and take in?
I love Worcester. I think it's an amazing city. I think we have, like, a strip of probably the best restaurants, bars, live music on Shrewsbury Street. It's probably a mile from the rink, super close. Right off by the rink, there's Green Street and Water Street, also great bars and restaurants. I'm a big fan of karaoke, and there's my favorite karaoke bar is like a mile and a half away from the rink through Kelly Square is the most messed up intersection, but it's kind of like a tourist attraction. There's like seven streets that just filter into one, and you just kind of go with it. You figure it out, and it's kind of fun to like risk it all and go through Kelly Square. But Western's got a lot to see. There's about 8 or 9 colleges here, so any sporting event. You got the TCU Center where the Worcester Railers play. If you like parks, you have plenty of those. But yeah, tons of stuff to do. But mainly, come to the Worcester Blades games at the Fidelity Bank Worcester Ice Center.
I got to ask one. If you're a fan of karaoke, what's your song?
Ironic by Alanis Morissette.
Oh, isn't it ironic?
Yeah. I got a bunch, though. I'm kind of a mic hog.
That's okay.
You got to get me off the mic. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about maybe, like, hosting karaoke? Like, that might be something you're good at.
I thought about buying a karaoke machine and doing, like, a team bonding thing.
Oh.
With the Blades or Becker as, like, an icebreaker.
Yeah.
But I'll have to purchase that. But I did do it a lot in, like, a lot of karaoke in Lake Placid, and they kept telling me I was a mic hog. So I'm planning on going this weekend, which is exciting.
If you're good at it, don't hide it. That's all I got to say about that. So.
Well, I think I'm good at it. I don't know if I'm actually good at it, but when I'm seeing, I think I'm good at it.
That's okay. Solid assessment there.
Yeah.
In a recent interview with Worcester Magazine on August 29th, you said, and I quote, "I love the Blades. I love what the Blades represent. I decided to stay a long time ago," unquote. There were clearly other options, starting in 2015, for an American-born player with the American Women's League, having a team so close by in Boston. So for those of us who may be curious, why do you love the Blades so much, and what do they represent in your own words?
The Blades represent resilience, perseverance, pride. I take full pride in what hardworking, sacrificing, and willing to just play hockey, the kind of people that the Blades have had ever since I jumped on in 2014. I think I've met so many amazing people, so many people that work multiple jobs and still play hockey. I've met goal scorers, I've met grinders, I just met people that really would drop anything for the Blades. I think that that's amazing. Especially in the CWHL, NWHL as well, like, we also work full-time jobs, and it's very hard to make time for professional hockey in your life. And I think the time and that people put into the Blades over the last couple years is inspiring to me. When I jumped on, I never expected to still be here. Like I said earlier, at the age of 26, still playing hockey and still loving it. But I'm staying for the people, and I'm staying for what hardworking we've been through, all the adversity of moving rinks and losing seasons and one-win seasons. And it's very frustrating as a competitive person, and as all women's hockey players are, very competitive, to go through one-win seasons and still continue to love it. And we do. All the girls love it. We love each other. So I think, like, it's hard to put into words what they mean to me, but I basically love the people, and I believe in the CWHL and what it stands for and growing the game. And I think it seems minimal when we don't win a lot that we're growing the game, but we are. People will come watch. Girls know who we are, and we're trailblazers, and I think that's inspiring. I think we deserve to keep playing hockey as well.
Basically, you bleed black and yellow, in other words.
Yes, exactly.
That is awesome. Okay, got a couple of fun questions. This isn't going to sort of take you very long to answer, but in your D3 Perfect. Hockey interview in 2013, you ran down a solid list of superstitions that you went through prior to each game. Do these superstitions still exist with the Blades? Are there any new ones? And being that it's a superstition, are you willing to talk about them?
No, I'm totally open to talk about them.
Okay.
In college, I think I was close to insane. I would do the same thing every game, same playlist. Like, I'm so sick of, like, Little Lion Man by Mumford & Sons, because I would listen to that every single game. Like, I can't listen to it anymore. In college, I'd keep my stick with Jennifer Hamill, who was right next to me every game. I'd sit in the same spot. Number 11 seat at the top of the odd, 11 for Mark Messier in the top of the odd, and I'd just sit there for, like, 10 minutes. So I, like, if you were looking for me in any pregame routine, like, you just check the time and you probably find me in a certain spot. But now, like, playing professionally, I kind of changed it up a bit. I'm a little bit more relaxed. I play soccer with the girls. But if we don't have a soccer ball, I'll play football. Like, I'm pretty lenient now. I'm a big 90s music fan, so I like to, like, listen to that before games. I warm up with a bunch of the girls. We do, like, a dynamic warm-up. And then my only real superstition is I have to tape my stick before the game. It has to be fresh tape. Kind of like, I feel like it's, like, starting over. Every game's new. And then I tap Christina Brown's head before every period. That's my only superstition, which is kind of crazy. That's my only one.
She's okay.
Pretty small compared to what I had in college.
Yeah, the ones in college were pretty crazy, but she's okay with that? Christina's okay with the head tap before every period?
She's got, like, a handshake with, like, every other person on the team, and mine's just a simple head tap. I'm a little offended that I don't have, like, an extensive handshake that she does with everyone else, but, yeah, head taps for every game. I think I punched her in the face last season, and she's like, never again. But, I was, like, way too amped up. I forgot who we were playing.
Wow.
I hit her way too hard, but, no, we're back in good terms now, so I think she's ready for another season of taps.
All right, that's good then. In every single image, every video, every report, every roster I can find, the only number you've worn is 15. Is that just due to Ryan Getzlaff, or is there a deeper meaning to 15?
It started out with Ryan Getzlaff. Like I said, I love the guy. I think he's an amazing leader for his team, and he's done great things in his career. I think it all comes back to what Liza said to me when I asked for number 15 my freshman year at Utica. You can have it if you do something with it. And I think that keeping 15 and still trying to do something with it is part of the reason why I love it so much. I think earning every second is what I got out of that. So I tend to stick with it. And it's a great number.
No complaints here. No, that's for certain.
Yeah.
Got a few rapid-fire questions here. These are fun one-word or one-sentence answers. You can think about them for a second, but try and fire away as quick as you can here. These are the ones that nobody really is expecting, so let's break into these and have some fun. Crayola crayons have rather specific names like macaroni and cheese, which is like a light orange, wild blue yonder, which is like a bluish violet, and purple mountain's majesty, which is like a pinkish purple. What color would a Megan Myers crayon be?
Friendly blue. I don't know.
It's just a question. You don't have to. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
You're sitting at a table of four with any four people of your choosing, dead or alive. Who occupies the other three seats?
Is it dead or alive?
Dead or alive.
Oh, dead or alive. Wayne Gretzky.
Okay.
Obviously. Shoot. A good question. I have someone in my head. Can't remember her name.
If you can describe her, just describe.
Pat Summit.
Okay.
It's tough. Bobby Flay.
Okay. Good choice. Wide range of people there. That's nice. If today's Megan Myers could go back in time and talk to 8-year-old street hockey playing Megan Myers, what advice would you give your younger self?
You can't wear catcher pads on the ice. It makes your style look really bad. Also, don't give up on your dreams and don't let anyone tell you you can't, because you can do them.
Right on. That's good advice. We know you're a roller hockey player. You played a little bit in terms of getting everything going. Roller skates, were they ever in use? And if they were, have you ever thought of joining the high-stakes, physical but sometimes brutal world of roller derby?
Oh, absolutely not. Those women are huge, and they're fantastically physical, but I can't skate in those quad skates, the two and the two with a break. No chance. I can't skate in those things. One of my best friends does roller derby, and I can't skate in those things.
Oh, no way.
I can do almost anything else on skates, but I can't skate in quads.
That's so cool that you got a friend that does that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's cheat day on Megan Myers' schedule. What's the one cheat day food that has to be on the menu?
Cheeseburger and fries. Best cheeseburger you can ever make, and french fries.
That's fantastic. This is a tough one, although I think I might know who the answer is. If there's anybody you'd like to name right now, who is your hero or heroes, Megan?
I got a couple. Kimber Granato.
Okay.
She was the captain of the 1988 Olympic team. She also came to Vegas and played the fireman, and she gave me her jersey and a stick.
Yes.
Kind of changed my life. I'd like to say Ryan Getzlaff, obviously, is a huge person I look up to. and my grandmother. She's a fighter, did a lot of things that made a lot of people happy, and she's just my biggest fan, and I'm her biggest fan still.
Awesome answers on those ones. Last question before we get you out of here in terms of taking up enough of your time. Speaking about heroes, if there was one superpower that you could have, what would it be?
Power to heal, probably. I get weird injuries sometimes. Like I'm missing I have a chipped tooth right now, so I wish I could just fix this right now and not look like I have a chipped tooth anymore.
Like front tooth? Like we're talking Lloyd Christmas Dumb and Dumber front tooth or what?
like Sloss from the Goonies. I was coaching. No, not that bad. I'm just kidding. Oh. So I was coaching in January, and I jumped in a drill, and one of my kids accidentally high-sticked me, and it chipped one of my front side teeth, and I just haven't gotten it fixed yet. I need to get it fixed, but yeah, probably power to heal myself and others. That'd be pretty good power.
That'd be pretty good for sure. Before we let you get out of here, I'm going to hand over the soapbox to you. Is there anything you want to say to people listening on the radio right now? Anything you want to say to your fans right now?
I'd like to say thank you to everyone that supports the CHL women's hockey, and even the Worcester Blades. Women's hockey is the most growing sport, and it's all thanks to you. If anyone has a chance to come to Worcester, Massachusetts, and come watch the Blades play, feel free to call me. I live a mile from the rink. We can hang out, and you're going to watch some amazing hockey. So yeah, that's all I got.
That is a great message, and certainly we are going to keep track of you and what's going on all season long, Megan. We do appreciate you coming on the show today, and tell us all about your life, because quite frankly, it was remarkable to learn about you, and I am, as I told you earlier this week, I am fascinated by how great your career has been thus far. Door's always open if you ever want to come back. If you're ever promoting anything, ever want to do anything in terms of getting the word out, by all means, let us know, and we'll be happy to help you any way we can.
Hey, no, absolutely. No, thank you. I've always wanted to be on the radio, so thank you for fulfilling my dream. And it's been awesome talking to you today. I'm excited to hear it.
Well, like I said, we're excited to have you. So, again, if you want to come back, if you want to continue that dream, by all means, let us know, and we'll put you back on anytime you want, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all in.
Okay, thanks a lot, Megan. Have a great day, and enjoy seeing your mom tonight.
All right, thank you. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hawks. So there is Megan Myers. I don't know how the repeat got on there, but we got that done. Megan Myers joining us here. Going to get out of here right away as Skippy's getting ready for Free Range Radio coming up right away. Just want to say again, if you're looking to get out and do anything, Bison's Alberta tomorrow in terms of football, Bison's St. Mary's for women's hockey in terms of a first preseason game. Are going to make sure that everybody gets well informed as to what's going on. Get out and support the teams if you can. And next week here on the Hockey Show, we have the Bison women's hockey rookies coming in. You're going to meet the kids here at 6:30 or here at 5:30 at the station as we bring them in, chat with them a little bit, learn all about them. With that, we're out of here for another week, everybody. Enjoy your week. It's the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM.